bring you greetings in the name of Jesus, the one who calls for our allegiance to him. A very simple call, and that is for us to give our allegiance to him. I think of this whole arena of allegiance or seek ye first and giving ourselves. I may have heard me say this before already, but going to the public school, we'd go up and down the row in the public school, somebody would read a chapter from the Bible, and then after that we'd all face the flag, and I pledge allegiance to the flag. And I kind of felt a little awkward about that, but little farm boy did what you do, and so we did. And I think about that many times since, and really that's where I want to do my allegiance to God. I pledge my allegiance to God. And that's my call tonight. This becomes allegiance, and that is, I promise to faithful and true. I promise my loyalty to that, and that's where we want to be. The Winter Bible School sounds like a place that we could ask questions. And so maybe at the end we can, if I remember and have opportunity, we may have some questions. We'll take care of that as well. The scripture that we have is Matthew 6:33. And the title was Seek Ye First the Kingdom of God. And that it's in the youth and middle age and seniors. The whole chapter or the verse there in Matthew 6:33 is Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. I apologize for my voice. I don't have a cold. I overdid it some months ago. And not at a football game. But I do the tours for the orchard there. And our gathering that Darrell's did for us for Christmas. One of the questions that he had for us to fill out and guess at was how many tours were done. And so, I know that. I do all the tours. And so when the question was asked, and I real intelligently said, 105, you know. And well, then I apparently wasn't paying attention somewhere along the line. It was 149. And so with those half-hour tours, I just downright did my voice in, and I'm still struggling to get it back, so my apology for that. The call is for youth, middle age, and seniors, and I'll allow you to define that, because it would be quite a reminisce of where that all could be. But the fact remains that all of life seek ye first the kingdom of God. We sing that and sing the song, I Surrender All. Maybe we look at that later. But that's, you know, kind of that. When I'm looking at this closely, is an area that is so life or death spiritually. It really is. It's not a light matter. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the contrast to that is seeking the kingdom of God. And that contrast is being my self-centered, as Jim was bringing out a little bit, the self-centered. And we'll see that over and over. Refers to seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What are all these things? Well, all these things is God's care. Prior to these verses, the verse that we read, it talks about having concern about the raiment and the care and the earthly cares that we have. And I want to be clear that I believe that we should pay attention and be frugal and do things well. But to weary yourselves and worry about that, a lot of times the reason for that is because we're seeking pretty self-centered. And that makes us seek that. Matthew 7:7, just right on, maybe across the page for you, refers to ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. And it sounds like we, ask God and it's all our way. And yet Jim was telling us about the settings where Christians are meeting in the cold and the chill, and they say, well, God's not meeting our needs. God's got a longer range than all that. And we really know better than want the sun to shine every day. We do care about that. Our first impulse is that the sun would shine, everything be. But really, we want the rain, and we want those dreary days to water the earth and strengthen us. So that's really doesn't mean that just everything will be our way. I'd like to have you turn to Romans 1. We'll look a little bit at a contrast. We need to start right, and that is seek. Romans 1 is the contrast, and contrast to me often is helpful because it gives you a picture. Romans 1 will begin at 21 and read 21 to 25. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of God, of the uncorruptible God, into the image made like the corruptible man, and to the birds and the four-footed beasts and the creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to an uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, and to dishonor their own bodies and between themselves, and who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. The reason I want to look at that is because of the contrast and the seriousness of not seeking God. We will be in deep trouble. The self-centered that came out here, they were not thankful, and they were not blessing God and not acknowledging God for who he was, and they took their own abilities and stepped forward with that, and with those abilities is what they moved ahead on and lived by, and those abilities put them in a lost state. And again, I'm saying the contrast is why this is so important. As I was thinking about this, and I want us, every one of us, to ask ourselves a question. I'm going to do things a little bit different. As I studied this and really thought about that, and I want to be sure that all my ways that I seek God. Turn to Deuteronomy 28 for a moment. I know we're going to the Old Testament there, but there's a pretty serious contrast is given here again. Deuteronomy 28. I just like to read a few verses here and look at the positive of blessed by obeying and God and doing what is right. Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and observe and to do his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Doesn't that sound like we need to seek him? We seek this, and part of the seeking him is his commandments, is really a high part of it, is what he says and what he gives. And he goes on to the gives of promises of verse 2, and all these blessings shall come to thee and overtake thee, and thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shalt thou be, and fruitful of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and increase in thy kind, and the flocks and thy sheep. It all gives these increases. It goes on for quite a while there. And then watch this in verse 15 in Deuteronomy 14. Let's start there. This is a contrast now. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the word which I command thee this day, and to thy right hand or to thy left, to go after other gods, to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and to observe and to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. And then it lists on curses after curse after curse. It's a serious matter, isn't it? It's a serious matter. Not only the blessing, missing the blessing, but the curses are pronounced against the one that is not seeking. And I think we should, in general tonight, I'd like for us to stay at home in our heart as we think about, am I seeking God? Please don't look across the way and think, you know, I just hope you're listening and just fit what I see in your life. Stay at home tonight and look at my life. Look what my life. And in doing that, but just for a moment, look around our world and what is going on? And how can it be worse? They did this very thing, and the curse is upon the nation. And we won't be able to know how to handle the things, because we've so moved away from God's way that we can't make decisions right anymore. And there's no absolutes because of that. So I call us as God's people, a born-again believer, to go and draw near. Maybe a question, why do we seek the kingdom of God? Why do we seek that? Because we love. And I'd like for you to think about that quite a bit tonight, thinking about why we do things. We're not that old, none of us, that we remember those courtship days when we just, every opportunity and any opportunity, and we drive out around and we did all kinds of things. It's because we had this love for this person and we just delighted to have this. And we were seeking. Why? Because we love. And praise God, we didn't know what love was back then. Today we know what love is, growing and growing, and we seek for our partner. We seek to do for our partner the right things. And it's also true that because of we think about that when we accepted Jesus, we remember that time of the soul enlightened, and so it's just the air was all fresh and everything was just, the heart was lightened and the burdens were rolled away. And it was because of our love for Jesus. And we just, whatever. And we dive into God's word and we see what he has for us. And now we say, we didn't really know what love was, because we're growing and have a more desire. Or do we? Or did it grow cold? If you're seeking for God and seeking after God grew cold, it's probably because of one thing, because your love for him grew cold. We left our love lay, and because of love makes you do things. Back to the start. You get your Keystone Messenger, and I am amazed and marvel and not slow admitting it. There's people that do and have abilities far greater than I ever will and do. But in the Keystone Messenger, there's an article, Living Life in Light of Christ. Living light in light of Christ in all areas of our life. It's written by Daniel Root. Well done. Read it. Please read it. I borrowed a bit there from there. But seeking the first, the kingdom of God, and this living life in light of Christ has a lot of meshing together. And he refers to of having many compartments in our life. Tonight, we're seeking the kingdom of God. We're here. And so this is our life. But remember, we have many compartments in our life. And just to mention a few, some of these he may mention, some I did, but some of the compartments that we have is our work, our pleasure, our church, our hobbies, our food, our clothes, our finances, our giving, our weekends, our marriage, our families. In all those compartments, Are there some compartments in my life that I say, well, this is mine? I am not seeking the first, the kingdom of God. If I have these compartments, and I realize anew that every one of these compartments work. We kind of want to separate that out sometimes, and even in business, you know, separate that out. You can't separate it out. In fact, I want to look at that just in a moment. But the workplace is a place where we need to seek the kingdom of God. And that is a characteristics of the born-again believer, those that of love and kindness and preferring one over yourself and doing what is good for others and ultimately acknowledging God. At work, you ought to get your buzzwords that you have prepared when something isn't going right. And I don't know what those are or what it is that doesn't go right at work. And just don't fall in the trap of getting all frustrated. It's been out a number of years ago, but there was a man, a serviceman, came into the mill for a number of years, Russ Ryder. And he came there, and he was kind of a tall, lanky guy, and always kind of enjoyed him. Didn't quite know a lot about his life, and I was not aware. He was a serviceman for the boiler, and at a mill where you had to have steam, live steam, way a boiler was really important. When the boiler's down, way it kind of shuts you down, and so that's a time to get frustrated. And I guess I, young Christian, I didn't know better. I just knew you do what you need to do to take care of it. And Russ related to me at a given point. We had a time we were talking off to the side. And Russ said that, he said, I so marvel. He said, so many places I walk in when there's trouble and I'm kind of get shot at. And he said, I didn't have anything to do with it. I just came to help. And he said, the tension is high. And he referred to the setting that he walks into here. And I said, well, I'm just delighted to see you. And went on to say that he was a non-Christian, an alcohol, tobacco user. And he met up with the Christian and was changing his life. And he had conquered his alcohol. And he asked me to pray for him for his tobacco that he still had to work on. But he went on to say is that that's the kind of life that he's seeking for. And I didn't know that. And I reflected about what would have happened if I would not have sought first the kingdom of God. And that is his ways. And God knew about the boilers shutting down. It's not a surprise to him. And so it's those times at work is a part where we need to seek first the kingdom of God. And church, we have to be there and be a worker. And hobbies and food and finances, clothes and giving, our vehicles we drive. I'm old enough to not be, I remember these days, vehicles were far more important. But we're now at middle age. Well, we decide we're not going to decide that. But anyway, I'm at the age where I want a vehicle that gets me around. And you can talk to a car dealer, and he'll say, this baby here, that will turn heads, let me tell you. If you get that, it'll turn heads. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want to turn heads when people see me going with my family and children that are walking with the Lord. Then I want to turn heads. That's when I want to turn heads. Not when I'm driving down the road with the car. Now, I'm not old fogey enough to not appreciate cars and think it's nice to have a nice car. I think we should do neat and be practical. But my main goal is the vehicle that gets me down the road and does well and efficiency. In fact, the last one I purchased, I was kind of needing to replace because of due time. And the boys told me what I should get. And it worked out pretty good. And I'm really thankful for what I have. So the things that we have, so we turn heads. Why are we doing that? So that they know this. See who I am, see what I drive. And we middle age sometimes try to impress. And we need to be careful. And I think about these areas in my life and weekends and marriage and family. The first call for us is, for the born-again believer, is to seeking first the kingdom of God. And we are not thinking about ourselves. We're thinking about Him. The point is to make our decisions in all these areas in light of Jesus being our Lord and our guide and the one that decides. Make it conscious. Think about, am I okay? And that one of the things this will help us with is do impulse things. It'll give an opportunity to go home and think about it and get to think right and then make the decision. I didn't quite do that when I bought my last vehicle because I saw it was so right and I moved ahead pretty fast. But those decisions, a lot of times, if we take a little bit more time, we get a little bit more sensible and are not quite so self-conscious up front. A point well made in this article is that we Anabaptist believers, our lives are transformed to God's way, so then we will also conform to His guide in all of life. Raymond Burkholder, you know Raymond, talks about in the mission work that he's doing and the people that he meets, and he talks about the Anabaptist difference, and that is that you actually live, you live, we know it and we preach it, and that's it, but you actually can live it. And my call is for us that yes, we can live it. And by the way, that ought to turn heads to God's honor and God's glory. Read the article. There's a local business. This is just, it was so well done that I'd like to read their mission statement. This is a bit of local business, and they had a lot of hardships. The old man that started the business, at times he didn't know where the next thing would come from. And he talked about going to church with a panel truck that he used for the market, because that's the only thing he had. So he'd take his family to church in the market truck just to make survive. And he did, and a lot of things that were done, that were very, very hardship. But today their mission statement is, and I'd like to read it because it's so well done. Family business charter are values: honesty, integrity, and accountability. Quality products for our valued business partners. Respect and concern for our valued employees. Good steward of our God's given resources and an asset to our community. We desire to honor God in all of our efforts as we seek to deliver superior product to our communities through our business partners. To engage with our business partners in manners that exhibit respect and appreciation for our relationship. Encourage teamwork, recognition and accountability, and appreciation for our team members. Or live out our faith in business as well as within our personal lives. We recognize the foundation upon which the company was built and committed to faithfully and fervently keep the focus of our efforts on serving our Lord Jesus Christ, which we are flawed individuals. The manner in which we think and act can make a more tangible difference in our lives of those we touch than purely profit-based motive. Our deliberation, decisions, and actions will guide by the many principles found in God's Word, and we will seek to honor Him through our service, management, leadership, and ownership. That's a large company, and when I think about that, what else would I want to do? That's it. You can turn to Deuteronomy again, Deuteronomy 6. This is a very familiar chapter. It refers to just giving ourselves totally and just in all our ways acknowledge God. And this was after the deliverance out of Egypt. And we are speaking today about just after our deliverance out of sin and being a born-again believer. And being a born-again believer, we do these, people will know by what we do and say and how we act and how we do things. They will know. However, then and now and always will be, as long as time tarries, the warning of falling away. And that is in Deuteronomy 6, 12 to 15, is the warning comes. Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shall swear by his name. And you shall not go after the other gods and the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. That's the setting that we have today. We are warned not to go after the other gods, the small g gods that are around us. They're on every hand. We meet them all the time. But we will turn heads, because that's not how we function. We will turn heads to bring honor and to see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. It's a must. Deuteronomy 8 is a repeat of that. In Deuteronomy 8, 6 to 14 reminds us, therefore, you shall keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to seek him and to fear him. We talk about fearing God. Fearing God is up right together with seeking him. It makes a difference. We respect, we honor that, and we seek. And he goes on then to say, that the Lord thy God bringeth thee into the land. He brought you from deliverance from sin. And you're not that old. You remember that deliverance. We ought to remember. We better remember that deliverance. It's just the time was so changed. And that deliverance. And then time comes along. And we start looking around. And we forget God. He says, lest you forget God. We're doing rather well. And we no longer seek. We no longer fear. We forget. And we can't do that. Let's look at the ways that we can keep God's kingdom first. First of all, just in our everyday life, is be placing spiritual things before material things. I don't know. There's certain places you probably don't do business there for a particular reason. Because they're placing material things ahead of spiritual things. And the for a person that's, we just can't afford to be marked as a person that's a hard bargain. And the name we can't afford. By placing spiritual things before material things. The second one is to be able to have God's kingdom first, is to be elevating God's word above man's opinion. Are you normal? I respond to man's opinions. But really, we need to stand and know that we fear God, and that's the one that makes a difference. Third one is striving to be good rather than to be great. That's around us in every hand, is striving to be great. And we need to strive to be good. Being good, being God-honoring, fearing. The fourth one is by seeking to give rather than get. Operating or in these principles will assure us of God's care. Youth. Today's youth, you know, are no good. They ain't worth anything. You can't get any good youth, and there's nothing. You just can't depend on them. And the list goes on. But God's people and God's youth are not, that's not true. Because you seek first the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 4 gives us some account in that, and I don't know, this is probably the young preacher Timothy, But I believe it also fits us as to our youth. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer. That's the key. You're seeking to be an example of the believer. That's the interest that we have. And then he goes on that in word, and that's in our speech. And young people, one of the most powerful things you have is be in a society where you're a young person and you speak well. Speak with dignity, speak with clarity, speak with talking, meeting a person's eyes. By the way, a 2 and a 3-year-old ought to be working on learning this, but in case you didn't, it's not too late. That's a very powerful thing today, is to have a young person that speaks well. And I believe if you're seeking the kingdom of God, you will learn to speak well. Don't let your speech be shoddy words, slang words, slurred words, poor words. I know, I'm old enough to know that buzzwords change. I'm aware of that. Joyce used one the other day. That was, I thought it was a normal word, and a couple young people, what does that mean? And I don't even know what it was anymore. It doesn't matter. But it changes as time goes on. And that's true, but not poor words, not shoddy words. Be clear. And you will be showing that you're seeking the kingdom of God. You're a person that communicates. The second one here is in conversation, and that is in our actions. By the way, the speech yet is make it one that you edify people. And I know that there's enough of a boy in me yet that every now and then you need to make a dig and kind of dig somebody a little bit, but be careful with that. Don't constantly be ribbing a person so that it gets old. And more positive than that is to edify. Talk well about. If you want to see something powerful and says that, is speak well of your parents. And it'll be noticed. Speak well of your parents. Speak well of God. Conversation, body language. And body language is so powerful. My call to you is stand up straight and walk straight and walk with dignity, walk with purpose and meaning. I don't know what the right thing is, you know, anymore, but it's kind of lanky. But make that. And you're seeking God's way, a person with dignity and character. And dress right. Our world doesn't know how to dress right anymore. And my call to you is seek God's will in the things you do. And since we run vehicles, the cars you drive, make them practical. You'll have the opportunity, won't be long, but it'll be a few years down the road. You'll be able to look back and laugh at yourself for some of the kind of eye-rolling things that you did. Don't let that happen to you. Make good decisions. Number three is in charity here. And charity, that is a love. And we ought to pass on, young people, you ought to pass on the love that you experienced from Jesus Christ and the changed life that you had to those around you, to those that are not so pleasant. Whether it's at the nursing home or whether it's at the undertrodden, whatever it is, those. In Matthew 25, to the least of these, give yourself. You have opportunity in charity that's that of a caring person. A caring person. That's what Jesus was for us, a caring person. So seek those things. And that is, the fourth one is in the spirit. This governs our passion, our seeking, what things we long for. And I am so blessed. It's just a marvel at the era, and I'm embarrassed for the era of my youth of not having mission opportunities and not taking them probably. I know of going to doing some disaster projects and so on, but A lot of that was because of short term. It wasn't necessarily mission work. It was more of a cleanup disaster. But we have a tremendous amount of opportunities, young people. Take them, and now's an opportunity, time to do that. In spirit, it's what governs you. In faith, your trust in God. Let it be known that you trust in God. God is so interested in you, and you can give yourself to God as well. By the way, young people, make your job a mission. That is such a tremendous opportunity to seek God at your work. And then in faith, to trust in God, and then in purity. Our world has fallen apart on that one. And you're not automatically caused to fall that way. Or maybe I should say it this way. Unregenerated will automatically fall that way. But God's people will seek purity and seek what he wants for us. And that is a pure. When you think about in faith, you can think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you think about purity, you can think about Joseph. But God is looking for you to be pure. I say seek these, what God has for you in these areas. Middle age, this is where most of us live. A lot of us live. At least we like to believe that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And for most of us, it's marriage. A lot of us, not all, but a lot of us, it's marriage. And when we seek first the kingdom of God, I believe one of the highlights there is the responsibility and the opportunity and the obligation is what we men have. I'm talking to men for the moment, is a responsibility for the souls of our wife and our children. Seek first the kingdom of God. So often we can easily go into marriage and so that we just kind of see what happens. Think about what ought to happen and seek first the kingdom of God. Men, your utmost concern should be that of your children, to have their souls to spend eternity. Where? To have your wife and support her. And they have a soul that will reach eternity somewhere. And you carry a great responsibility, men. Take time. It costs a lot of time. At the end of the road, really, really, that's all that matters. At the end of the road. Be sure to live your middle age in light of eternity and not retirement. So much is given to retirement. I'm not opposed to that, and I didn't find retirement here in the scripture, but slow down and do things a little different. But there's so many opportunities. Men, spiritual leaders in your home. Be spiritual leaders in your home. Ask yourself what it is that derails us from being a spiritual leader. And I would like for us individually to ask us that question. It's different for many of us in many different ways. But men, is it my work? Is it my drive for finance? Is it my hobbies? Is it my weekends? Is it my sports? All these things, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God will call us to be take care of spiritual things. One of the things, men and youth, be a person that has a devotional time, a time that you have that is blocked out. I don't know where you put it, but somewhere put it so that you can give yourself to having time with the Lord. My dad was a pastor before I was born. But I remember him saying this so often, and I kind of roll my eyes as a boy and he say that. But he would say it, and I believe the Bible has it. I didn't look it up. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. And I marvel at how many men, grown men, married men, men with children, have not put away childish things. I'll leave that to you for an answer. But I want to recommit myself as I think about that, that I am careful to do that. Sisters, where's your time spent? Love your husbands. Titus 2 reminds us of that. Love. And it's a warning to, in Titus 2, it says older should teach the younger to love their husbands, love their children. And so that's a very important thing. And without spending a lot of time there, is wives, what are you doing that's important and or not seeking first the kingdom of God? I know that it's just so evident because our society around us is teaching us that the key for women in the middle age, and that is not to get old, and so you start doing things in fads and fashions and Facebook that are very destructive. That time ought to be spent seeking the kingdom of God. And wives, my heart goes out for you for the load and the work that you have. But I also know the Proverbs 31 woman is that of joy, and the men will praise you for being that godly woman. A little bit of a warning in John, 1 John, don't turn to it because we want to move along here. 1 John 2, 14 to 15, 15 and 16. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. What part of that don't you understand? It's that clear, and it means what it says, and it says what it means. And I said to myself, again, one more time, and I say, please answer that question for yourself. Seniors, we got a few of us here, but before you realize you will be there, I would like to say in Titus 2, does not give us the old man an opportunity to be old and grumpy. He has a call to be an example, a pattern to the young, a pattern to the believers. I believe that we ought to seek God, and as a senior, there's a topic that you deserve to hear, and that is one that I heard in the fall of 2017 at Equippers. It was given by Lester Zimmerman, and it was the topic went something like this: Godly grandparenting, assisting our children without interfering. And Lester, they deserve to hear that sometime. It was just a powerful picture of grandparenting and the senior of how to relate. That is so powerful, the grandparenting input. I have so much, I shouldn't use a term quite, enjoyment, I was going to say, so much fun being a grandparent to the children and the grandchildren, a tremendous opportunity. And just never, never, never make the statement that my grandparent is to spoil the grandchildren. God forbid. It's not seeking God's kingdom. My drive is to help the parents with their children and be a support. Stay in service for the church and the mission field or our children, our grandchildren. And all of you have the things that you do or like to do. One that I enjoy doing is I enjoy, of course, only a certain gender, but I enjoy giving haircuts. And the boy, the grandsons, now that's a little careful. An old man giving a youth a haircut, they tell me how they want it cut. And most of them, when they're young enough, they don't want to buzz. That's easy. And it doesn't take long till they're about 14 or 15. I want one like Josiah has, I honor that, and I think so far, apparently they keep coming back anyway, but to embarrass them by this old man, and we shouldn't be doing that. We should be doing things that they like. One thing we do is try to help financially. Over Christmas, we get the grandchildren, there's 20 of them by now, clothed, and Joyce gets dresses made, and you're okay, Joyce. This old lady gets these youth dresses and these youth boys' shirts and pants, and they want us to be at Faith Sunday morning after Christmas because they want to tout their new dresses and their shirts that Grandma and Grandpa got. Don't make yourself an old grumpy grouch. Embrace your children, embrace the little children. There's a song, I Surrender All. And I didn't see it in these song books, but it was written many years ago. And the call is for us to surrender all. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And my call is, young people, middle age, seniors, seek ye first the kingdom of God. God bless you.